Hello, it's Wednesday, the 8th of July, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. We don't need our Arab neighbours to say publicly that they love us, but we do need smart diplomacy. That's the view of today's guest, retired IDF Colonel Miri Eisen. She gives me her take on Israel's decision to withhold water from Jordan until Amman tones down its hostile rhetoric. You'll hear our conversation in just a moment, but first, the latest headlines. President Trump says the ceasefire deal with Iran is over. Speaking at the NATO summit in Ankara, Trump described the Iranians as sick, violent, and vicious people and said he no longer wanted to deal with them. The comments came after the US struck dozens of Iranian targets in response to IRGC attacks on shipping in the Strait of Hormuz. Iran has retaliated by launching attacks on targets in Bahrain and Kuwait. The renewed fighting has pushed oil prices up by 5%. NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte has defended the latest US strikes on Iran, calling them absolutely necessary. Rutte said Washington was right to respond forcefully after Iran attacked shipping in international waters. US Central Command said the strikes were intended to impose heavy costs on Tehran. Well, the US Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has cancelled today's visit to Israel. He had been expected to reassure Jerusalem over reports that Washington may approve the sale of F-35 stealth fighter jets to Turkey. The escalating situation with Iran appears to have put those talks on hold for now. The funeral of Iran's late supreme leader has entered its next stage in Iraq, where thousands of mourners have gathered in the holy city of Najaf after his coffin was flown in overnight. Iraqi leaders joined Iranian officials for a formal reception before the procession moved to the Imam Ali Shrine. The ceremony comes as Baghdad tries to balance its close ties with Tehran ahead of a high-stakes visit to Washington later this week. Egypt's dramatic World Cup run has ended in bitter controversy, with players, coaches and pundits accusing FIFA and match officials of costing them a place in the quarterfinals. After a 3-2 defeat to Argentina, Egypt's manager accused the French referee of bias and suggested FIFA wanted to keep the reigning champions and Lionel Messi in the tournament. And Israel is extending its humanitarian mission in Venezuela after the country's interim president personally asked Israeli experts to stay and help with reconstruction following last month's devastating earthquakes. The two countries have had no diplomatic ties for more than 15 years, but Israeli teams are now helping authorities assess damaged buildings and develop a national recovery plan. Before we get to today's conversation, a reminder that you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's Miri Eisen.
Now we've seen a major escalation in the Gulf with the Americans striking dozens of Iranian targets. Are we seeing what many in Israel had predicted and the kind of unraveling of this very problematic ceasefire MOU?
I'm not sure if it's an unraveling of a ceasefire or this is the ceasefire. This is what it looks like. Every once in a while, you have these explosions where Iran is targeting the ships going through Hormuz Straits because they want to show that they can. The United States responds to very specific targets. And in the aftermath of that, Iran attacks again, and then it calms down. These peaks should be expected. They're not happy. They're not easy. But to me, it's part of the ceasefire game rules as they define them from the beginning.
Interesting comments from the UAE this morning saying, you know, this is evidence that Iran just simply cannot stick to a ceasefire. Do you think we're on the path to a return to war inevitably?
I don't think it's going to be a full-scale war. I don't. Having said that, I don't know. This is about both the United States and Iran, and for that matter, the Gulf countries. But because of oil prices, because of the need to be able to open up the Hormuz Straits, I don't see this going back right now to full-scale war.
And of course, all of this happening as Turkey hosts the NATO summit and NATO has given its backing to these American strikes. Israel had been looking a bit isolated there.
Let's be clear, Israel is not a member of NATO. We're not invited to that because we're not a member. And the fact that we have such a strong alliance with the United States and we're within the CENTCOM world doesn't put us in NATO. That's one thing that's really important for people to understand. The second is the change that's happened in Turkey. Because Turkey overwhelmingly has become this leading voice, and may I add, exceedingly negative voice, together with negative actions specifically against Israel everything that has to do with Turkey, both within NATO and inside all of the Middle East, is very worrisome for Israel. Turkey is a member of NATO. Turkey is a destabilizing factor. And Turkey has openly, vehemently talked against Israel in the last few months, and I would even say few years.
Some argue that the fact that Turkey is a member of NATO restrains President Erdogan to a certain extent and prevents him from acting on what he clearly fantasizes about, you know, conquering Jerusalem, rebuilding the Ottoman Empire. Would you agree with that argument?
I think that NATO at the end is a security organization, and there's a security type of language, which is similar in that sense to what Israel finds more inside CENTCOM, which is a security type language. And I worry very much that in the security quarters, it does restrain. But look at what the non-security world has done to Jews and Israel over the last 3 years. I mean, just and Turkey right now is at the forefront of that worldwide. And that really scares me. If Erdogan can make statements like that and be in NATO, I don't know how much of a restraining that is. They need to be way more restrained, let alone just totally change the tone of everything that they say.
Do you think Israel should be more robust in its response to the things that Erdogan says?
I think that Israel has to navigate its way within the Middle East that we live in. I think that this new Middle East and even Erdogan's robustness comes out of the fact that Israel has weakened so many of the main players that before Turkey had to contend with. So the fact that we've weakened Iran and we've weakened Hezbollah and we brought about the change of regime in Syria, even though it wasn't us, but it was us, all of these have strengthened Turkey. And it isn't either or. It's at the end navigating in these new waters. I'm not sure we do so the way I would do so, as successfully as I would like. We know how to use our military power. I don't think we really know how to use our diplomatic power in a way that we should in the Middle East.
And speaking of fiery rhetoric, Israel is refusing to renew a deal to supply Jordan with water unless Amman tones down its rhetoric towards Jerusalem. Just your thoughts on that, because this is a very important relationship, isn't it? The one between Israel and Jordan, problematic as it is.
Problematic as it is, this is what, in that sense, our Middle Eastern allies look like. They're not about accepting us, loving us, and thinking that Herzl had a good idea. I wish they would understand that. And I'm being slightly sarcastic, but I need our viewers to understand that what we're talking about is a very complex relationship, and we want the relationship with Jordan, and Jordan wants it with us, just like we want a relationship with Egypt, and Egypt wants with us, and we could talk about Egypt as well in that same kind of context. So as I said, diplomacy is challenging. You give, you take. Can we tell them no water for in response for rhetoric? That's not the diplomacy I'm looking for. I think that right now Israel quietly can help Jordan both through water and through gas. That water and gas is getting to Syria, not a friend of Israel's, not in an agreement with Israel. That impacts Lebanon. At the end, that's quiet diplomacy that you want to hope will keep on going.
Right, and the Jordanians are pointing out that they actually helped defend Israel during the war with Iran. So there are a lot of complexities, and the public statements don't always reflect that, do they? Either in Jordan, in Lebanon, or in Israel.
Again, I think we want them all to say we love Israel and Israel should be here. And I don't expect them to say that. They are also striking a delicate balance between the extreme rhetoric within their own countries and their own survivability. I prefer, and I hope I'm not, you know, not helping them in that way, I prefer the Hashemite king with all of the challenges that we have with that kind of rhetoric over any kind of Muslim brotherhood in Jordan. And the same goes for a lot of other countries. And so in that sense, it's give and take. It's not just about that rhetoric. And I say that with all of the caveats that at the end, they can't continue to call our existence into question. That's not what Jordan is doing. They're not calling our existence into question. But at the end, in striking that balance, I would not say water for rhetoric. I would say, let's do diplomacy and see where it takes us there.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Thanks for watching or listening. And please do subscribe using the link below. Goodbye.